Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So we'll see how this works. I like to try things a little differently every once in a while. So hopefully you fill this out. You just put X's on it. You don't put your name on it. If you put your name on it, don't hand it to anyone, okay? Just like pull it up, put it in your pocket. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your filled out form, if you filled one out. I want you to stand up and find someone like two or three pews away from you and give it to them, okay? And then stay there, okay? You can use this as passing the peace. Say good morning. So here we go. You just stand up. What? Yeah, stay beside the person you passed it to, and then we're going to do this two or three more times. So, here we go. You want to get it away from you so nobody knows it's yours, okay? So here we go. You want to, here, I'll take one. Yeah, we'll just pass around. There we go. And then just stand there for a moment. Now, if you've passed it, now take the paper you have that's not your own and take it somewhere else, far away. I'll pass it. Here you go. I'll switch you. And then you're going to want to do it again. So at least one more time. Oh, there we go. And then how about a fourth time? You want to get that paper as far away from you as possible, right? There you go. Does anybody have one over here? Okay, perfect. And then you can sit down where you belong. So once you're, I forgot, I lowered this. And now everything's falling. There we go. Anyway, I forgot that I had lowered this and never raised it back up. Okay, so now here's the thing. You look at your paper that is not your own, okay? And I'm going to read the statement. And when I read a statement, if it's marked on your paper, you stand up because this isn't you. It's just the paper you're looking at, okay? So just because someone stands up, this does not apply to them, okay? But this is just the people in this area just this morning. This is what we're dealing with. So I'm sorry for those of you who have knee issues. Maybe you don't want to stand up and sit down 10 times, but here we go. Mother's Day is both a happy day and a sad day for me. I'll stand on my tippy toes, right? So look around. There you go. All right, you can sit back down. Sometimes I have trouble sleeping because of anxiety. Got one? All right, sit back down. I often feel depressed. I don't get to stand up for the rest. All right. Number four. I would seek help from a therapist if I had both the time and the money. All right. Number five, I often feel alone and helpless to deal with the problems in my life. All right. And number six, sometimes I doubt God's love for me. All right. Number seven, many days I just don't want to get out of bed. There's a few. Number eight, I have had to see a mental health therapist to help me cope with life. All right. Number nine, I often feel like the work I do is meaningless. All right. And then the final one, sometimes feelings of guilt and shame overwhelm me. All right. Thanks for doing that, guys. So what was the point of doing this? By the way, you can just like throw them away or put them in all in a pile and I'll get rid of them, shred them, right? But the point of this exercise is simple. Many people within our congregation are dealing with mental health issues. We often don't realize how many people are just like us. And then that makes us feel even more alone when we're dealing with mental health issues, when we're suffering from anxiety and depression and just stress of everyday life. And then holidays come, like Mother's Day, or Christmas, or big events, even like graduation, and sometimes that makes us feel even more overwhelmed and anxious and depressed because we know we're supposed to be happy on those days, and we don't always feel like it, and then if everybody else is acting happy, it makes us feel even worse. If we don't feel like how everybody else is acting, we feel like we're broken, and we have no hope of recovery. The first step in dealing with mental health is to just admit that everyone deals with mental health. We all do. Mental health is just another kind of health. It's when someone has problems with their heart health, we don't judge them as being a failure of some type. We take them to the heart doctor, and then we pray for them, and they get treatment, or maybe they start taking medicine. And then hopefully they go on to lead a long and happy life. The same is true for our mental health. If you're struggling to cope with things in your life, you're not failing as a human being, you're just being human. You might need to go to a mental health professional. We'll pray for you. You might get treatment. You might have to take medicine of some type. And then you go on and lead a long and healthy life. But what if it works for a while, and you start feeling better again? Well, that sounds... Oh, wait. What if you start feeling better again, and then you start feeling badly again? That sounds like life, doesn't it? So when someone has cancer, and then they go to the doctor, and they get treatment, sometimes they're told, hey, you're cancer-free, and we all celebrate. The treatment worked. But they still have to go for their yearly checkup. And maybe you've heard this happen before. Sometimes cancer comes back. And when cancer comes back, what do we say? Does that mean that that the patient is a failure? Does it mean that the doctor is a quack? Does it mean cancer treatment just doesn't work anyway? Of course it doesn't mean that stuff. Why would we feel that way about mental health then? Sometimes treatments work. Sometimes treatments don't work. And sometimes they work until they don't. And then you have to try something different. God gave us all kinds of people to help. And they help us lead a long and abundant life. And I pray that you all see your mental health as an important part of your overall health and support one another in this way. But should Christians have mental health issues in the first place? Because, I mean, aren't we supposed to be joyful always? Aren't we supposed to pray and give it all to God? Count your blessings. I have a whole song just about this. Think about good stuff, only good stuff. God knows, though, that we deal with mental health sometimes that are sad. In fact, we see the writers of the Bible talking about these topics all the time. The book of Psalms is full of this. Anxiety, depression. The first line from 130, Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. One of Jesus' most famous speeches deals with the topic of worrying, probably because people were anxious at his time, just like they are now. I know we feel like it's worse now than it ever has been, but I have a feeling they felt anxious back then too. Psalm 77, though, is a great example of what a sleepless night looks like in the Bible. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. These are words that are written in the Bible. You can be a faithful Christian and still deal with mental health struggles. That's the point. So in view of anxiety, depression, feelings of loss, stress, what does God do for us? Well, he understands us, but he also gives us rest and takes on our burdens. And third and finally, most importantly, he gives us hope. So God does understand what you're going through. This is really important to recognize when it comes to Jesus. God doesn't look down on you for your mental health problems. He loves you and has compassion for you. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus shared in our humanity. He had to be like us in every single way. He suffered just like we do. I have no problem saying that Jesus sometimes felt sad and anxious and maybe even depressed. Why am I confident in saying this? Well, because he was just like us. He had to have felt these things. That's what it means to be human. Experiencing mental health issues, that's not a sin. It's not a sin to be sad. It's not a sin to be stressed or anxious. But Jesus does more than just commiserate with us, okay? He takes on our pain as his own. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, he says, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. When you're struggling with your mental health, yes, go to the doctor. Yes, go to the therapist. Yes, talk with a friend or your pastor or your parents. But while you're doing all that, don't forget to cast your burdens on God, because he cares for you too. Isaiah 53 says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. This is what it says. And by his wounds we're healed. You are never alone, because God promises that nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even anxiety and depression. Pray to God for strength and healing, and tell him your deepest desires and sorrows and fears. Isaiah 42 says, a bruised reed he will not break. So if you're feeling bruised and broken, God gently cares for you, okay? But finally, and most importantly, Jesus brings us hope. Pretty much every scripture dealing with anxiety or depression ends with a message of hope in the Bible. Lamentations chapter 3 says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. After the beginning of Psalm 130, when he's crying out to the depths from the depths, he ends by saying, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. So if you're anxious about things like college, even though everybody's so excited for you, but you're nervous about it, well, you look to Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And if you're struggling with a tough time in your life and tough circumstances, look to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And here's another one that I thought of before, and the printer wouldn't print out my new sermon. This is from Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Romans chapter 8 sums it up well. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So I will not promise you that as a Christian you will not deal with mental health issues, but I do promise that you won't deal with them alone. God is there, and he sends us people. Kylie mentioned this when she talked about her mom. Her mom was acting on God's behalf to be there for her. You can be this for other people, and you need other people as well. That's the point of having this community, this Christian community, to support you at this time through the difficult times of your life. Jesus promises to take on your burdens so that you don't have to carry them alone, and to give you the hope that one day you will find rest for your souls. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly on this earth while you're alive. And finally, eventually, no matter how your life might be going, he has promised that one day in heaven, he will wipe every tear from your eye. So I pray that no matter how you're feeling today or any time in the rest of your life, that you remember this, that Jesus loves you and will walk with you even through the darkest valley to comfort you, to sustain you, to give you hope, and to save you. Amen.